Okay. All right, horror movie time.
Horror movie time.
Woo! Horror movie time.
What's up?
When was the last time we did a horror? The last time we talked about this many horror films was in the fall. We didn't release it until like 2 months ago. But it's been a while since we've actually sat down and talked about some horror movies, Dustin.
Yeah.
So what better for mid-May than some scary things?
Yes.
All right. The most recent scary thing for people to view is...
Late Night with the Devil.
Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack Delos.
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms once again.
Well, Night Owls, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it. Gosh, I hope you love it. Please love it.
I'm trying to host Nashville syndicated talk show,
and I'm trying to help you keep it on the air.
We all know how important it is to keep our sponsors and affiliates happy, but in my humble opinion, there is only one person who really matters in this whole darn crazy business, and that is you, our viewer.
You're meddling with things you don't understand.
Whoa! Now, as you know, here on Night Owls, we think it's very important to keep an open mind. Please welcome Dr. June Ross Mitchell and Lily, the young subject of the book, Conversations with the Devil.
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack. She's becoming more unpredictable.
That's a good thing. That's why we still do what? TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television first as we attempt to commune with the devil.
Lily, can you hear me?
Good to see you again, Jack.
Lily, return to me.
This isn't about ratings anymore.
No one's going anywhere.
How could you let it happen, Jack? How could you let it happen?
Please be warned, anyone with young children in the room.
Go to a commercial!
You're about to see...
You okay, Jack?
It's profoundly disturbing and shocking.
Get out there, Mr. Midnight. And you knock him dead.
So, Late Night with the Devil, came out last year. It is directed by Cameron and Colin Cairns. So this film stars David Desmalchin. Is that how you say his name?
I think it's David Desmalchin.
Desmalchin. Yeah. Okay, cool. David Dalmatian stars him. And... nobody else that I know.
Yeah.
the idea, the concept here is it's 1977 and David Desmalchin. Did I say it?
Yeah.
Sweet. David man plays Jack plays Jack Delroy. Jack Delroy is like a Johnny Carson type. And he's in lockstep competition with Johnny Carson, and he can't quite reach Johnny Carson's numbers. So in order to pull out all the stops and bring the ratings up, he decides to invite a young girl on the program live, who is apparently possessed, and perform a conjure up this demon on live television. And, does not go well. So that's the premise there. I first became aware of this in the weeks, months leading up to the film's release. And I was like, this looks really cool. Has a great like concept to it. It's shot, it's in 4:3. It's like the idea, it's essentially a found footage movie. It begins with this prologue, which is Michael Ironside narrating the life story of Jack Delroy. And as if it's like a, one of those where are they now type documentaries kind of thing. And so it kind of recounts his rise to stardom and his, you know, marrying his wife and all this stuff and some personal life stuff. And then it's like, what you're about to see is the master tapes of the broadcast and some additional footage, some behind the scenes footage that we've gathered from that night. Mm. And you're going to watch this as it originally aired live. And so, so it's filmed in a way that is, you know, mimicking the style of late night television. Now, eventually, and this is a little bit one of my negatives here, but eventually it does betray that film language a little bit to up the suspense and that sort of thing. Because you think about the way that late night television is shot, it's not it's not conducive to like horror tension.
Yeah.
So they have to stretch it a little bit. And then those moments where it's like the behind the scenes footage, it's like these interstitials where every commercial break, they cut over to and expands to 69, like black and white footage of, you know, them doing stuff backstage. And it's filmed very like mockumentary style. So it's like a different style altogether. Here's what I'll say about those two filmmaking styles. The one, which is the 4:3, you know, live broadcast type stuff, even though it's stretched, even though it's not quite how it would be, it doesn't bother me. The behind the scenes footage does bother me. So those interstitials that they go to, they feel too cinematic. They feel a little, even though it's filmed mockumentary, it's like, it just feels a little too much. Like, where is the camera? Why do they have such clean shots of these things? And like the audio is so like crystal clear. And like, why is this so perfect? And I think had it been a little dirtier, a little grungier, a little bit of like shooting these characters through, you know, like set, like set pieces, or if it was like that they're off in the distance, or like we're catching something that we shouldn't be catching, then I think that would feel a little bit more genuine. So the interstitials don't work for me, but everything else really does. And so as the film progresses, you begin to realize that Jack Delroy is struggling himself due to the recent passing of his wife. And as this unfolds, I think David Desmalchin does a great job at like bringing that to life. And so I think he plays this character well, but I think at the beginning, when we're seeing, you know, this Johnny Carson type, I don't know that I really buy the, like that sensibility from him. So like, as you get to know him better, he feels more real. But when I'm supposed to just see him as like this competitor of Johnny Carson, I don't quite get that sense. Like, how could this guy be a competitor?
Possibly compete.
Yeah. He doesn't have the energy that a late night host typically has. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, I'm not really even going to blame him on this. I think it's more like in the writing, it's not as punchy as you would hope it would be. And there's not really much of an opportunity for him to be playful and goofy. And maybe that's just because I was brought up on Conan O'Brien. So like my sense of what a talk show host is super warped. If you're not a, you know, 7'6" ginger, I don't understand how you could possibly host a show. But I'm like, it doesn't quite track to me that he's a Johnny Carson competitor. But I do think that as the film progresses and you get to know him more as a person, he certainly feels more real. And there's another character in this. Let me see if I can find. Character is named Carmichael Haig, and he's played by Ian Bliss. Ian Bliss does a great job in this. However, the role itself is one of those thankless antagonist roles. He exists for conflict. And there's really no other purpose for that character. And so when the scenes really rest on his shoulders, I feel like I check out a little bit because I'm like, okay, like this is just sort of like a plot character. You know what I mean? Not a character.
Yeah.
So there's a few shortcomings that the film has. But at the end of the day, I think I ended up giving this like 3.5 stars. I think it's a perfectly fine film. Even though the interstitials don't work for me, everything else really does. And without getting into spoilers, there is a moment at the end, toward the end, that also does not work for me. It feels a little too cartoonish, and I feel like betrays much of the suspense that has been, you know, earned over the course of the film. There are a couple of missteps which definitely bring it down. That, you know, that second misstep that I vaguely described there is a big one. It's a big problem. If you could fix that one issue, I mean, this is like a 4.5 star film, but it just kind of falls apart right there. So I enjoy this film, and I certainly would recommend that if you, right now it's streaming on AMC Plus. So if you have AMC Plus, check it out. But if you're thinking about renting this for whatever, you know, $5, $10, whatever it is on, you know, your Vudu or whatever, like maybe hold off. But if you're looking for like just a spooky time with some friends, okay, this is not a bad choice. You could do a lot worse. In fact, there's a review coming up in a minute that's a lot worse. So Late Night with the Devil. Yeah, check it out, man. It's, you know, 3.5 stars. It's a good movie.
Speaking of a lot worse,
let's talk about Night Swim.
When we all fall asleep, where do we go? Kiss me.
No, he didn't. When we were fixing up the pool,
stop.
They said it hadn't been used in 15 years.
Maybe they weren't pool people.
This is not for the kids.
I used to be scared of pools.
Cider! Come on, Cider!
Getting a vibe here. Do you have a boyfriend?
No. Hey, someone's coming over in a minute.
Keep your mouth shut.
Marco.
You need to say something back. Ronan, Marco!
Aren't you saying anything?
My kids have seen things, and I'm worried something is happening to my husband.
Dad?
I've been looking for you.
There has to be some way to stop this.
Marco.
Elliot!
Marco! 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 Marco!
So Night Swim came out earlier this year. And is directed by Bryce McGuire, also written by Bryce McGuire. I am not familiar with Bryce McGuire.
Neither is the internet, apparently.
Okay, well, there you go. I believe this is based on a short that he also directed.
This is his feature debut.
Okay, so this film stars Wyatt Russell and Kerry Condon.
Oh.
And that's why I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So the idea behind this film, the concept here is a family, mom and dad played by Wyatt Russell and Kerry Condon, and their two kids move to a new house, and their new house has a pool. And so they begin, you know, swimming in said pool, and strange things keep happening. And as the film progresses, you realize that the pool may in fact be haunted. And it may be doing some good things to the characters in order to lure them into the water to then do bad things to them. Haunted pool. That's the movie. I mean, there's really not a whole lot to say about a movie where the premise is haunted pool. I gave this 2 stars, one, because it didn't piss me off. And two, because Wyatt Russell and Kerry Condon are great and they do everything they can to elevate this film. Unfortunately, it's just a case of paint by numbers. Itis, is that a thing? where it's like, okay, this is a horror movie. Gotta have your spooky moments, gotta have those jump scares. Mm-hmm. And these are maybe the least effective jump scares I've ever seen. They are not at all jumpy because I predicted every single one of them. And it's one of those things where it's like, all right, character goes, puts his hand in the skin. This is in the trailer. Character puts his hand in the skimmer to grab a thing out, and the water's getting a little still and the music's getting quiet. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a jump scare. Some hand is going to grab him up. A hand grabbed him. Cool. Yay. I was frightened. I don't know. It's just one of those kind of things. What do I say about it, man? It's a haunted pool movie.
Yeah.
It does not make me angry because it's not actively like
terrible
insulting.
Yeah.
but it's just kind of like, it's just kind of boring and it just like nothing happens of any significance. And I don't know, by its nature, a haunted pool movie just means like people drown. It's not like people are getting like gory, like mutilated and like,
yeah,
there's none of that in it.
There's no like guesswork around like what's going to happen to this person. It's like, yeah. I bet they get pulled into the pool probably.
Yeah. They probably go under the surface.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Spooky.
And then you probably go like after a while, if they keep getting back in the pool, I'm going to think they're stupid. But right, if they never go back in the pool again, then the movie ends.
Well, so the film tries to justify that by saying like, oh, but the pool is like calling them. It's like the pool has a, like they can't escape it. It's almost frank. Like you'd almost say the film is trying to tackle, you know, we always talk about horror as a metaphor. Uh-huh. You'd almost think the film is trying to tackle addiction.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, I'm addicted to this thing that's making me feel good, but it's bad for me in the long run.
Uh-huh.
And so you would think, oh, that's what they're doing. But it's so clear that that's not what they're doing. Or if it is, they just didn't do a good job of doing it.
This is reminding me of the spoonfuls of sugar I ate the other day I was telling you about.
Yes.
You're describing the way I felt. I was like, oh, I gotta eat that sugar.
Yeah, it's really good in the moment. It feels great, but then, oh my gosh, I'm dying.
You'll come looking for me and I'm just drowning. There's a mound of it in my mouth. Like, I just suffocated.
Suffocated on water and sugar.
An entity appeared and just shoved my face full of sugar until I could no longer breathe.
Yes.
It's all wet and sludgy. It's just...
yeah, man, I don't know. I don't even have anything to say about it. It like It exists. It's streaming. It's streaming on something. I don't even remember where I watched it.
Peacock.
Peacock.
Yeah.
It's streaming on Peacock. Yeah, I don't know. I really want better for Carrie Condon. Like she's a great actress.
Yeah.
And dude, is she Irish? Is that, yes. Is that where she's from? She's, yeah. Irish, does the best American accent. Like you would not be able to tell.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Like I think of like Better Call Saul. She's, mm-hmm. so great in Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Like it's such a small role, but it's such an important role.
Yeah.
And she's so great in The Banshees of Inisherin. And, yeah, man, I don't know. I really enjoy, her work. And I have grown to enjoy Wyatt Russell as well.
Yeah.
And the two kids, like they're kids in this film, they do a really great job, but it, you know, I don't know, man, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. And also it suffers a little bit from like the, I don't know if you call it like the greatest hits syndrome, but it's like what big horror movies have come out recently? A Quiet Place. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So we'll do some of that in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts to feel like you can tell this is hitting everything that a horror movie should hit. And there's been some mandate to like hit some of what's popular.
Yeah.
And so it almost feels like this is a script. I don't know when this was written, but I imagine like pre-COVID and it just languished for a while. And it was written when A Quiet Place Part One came out and everyone was like, "Oh, this is great. Let's do some of that in this." You know, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Meh.
It always looked to me like one of those things I would just see at Redbox.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. 100%.
Like The Meg, you know, yeah. It's like, okay, like this is, you hate to sound elitist and say this term, but you almost go like, is this a real movie? Like, is this like a serious movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
And even, I hate saying that word because like, there's plenty of movies I love that aren't serious, but what I mean, but like, is this a movie that actually has like, that's competently put together and tries to elevate the subject matter a little bit.
Here's the weird thing about this movie. I do think this movie tries. I do think this filmmaker tries. I think the problem is it wasn't successful. Like I didn't get a sense that this is just like I got the sense that the screenplay was paint by numbers, mm-hmm. but I never got that sense from the direction or from the performances, or from the film itself. Like it felt very much like we're doing everything we can, but I'm surprised to learn that the director wrote it and that it's based on a short film that he also made, because that to me signals like this is a passion project. And even though like I do think that they're trying really hard, I think that there is a little bit of like the film itself is ill-equipped to tell its own story. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's just one of those things where I feel like everyone's trying, like Carrie Condon and Wyatt Russell are trying their best.
Yeah.
But like, there's just so, there's only so much that this premise could ever do. If you wanted it to be about addiction, okay, fine, but you got to let it be about that. And it doesn't. And I don't know, man, it's just limited by its own concept. I don't know what else to say. It's limited by its own concept. When you can summarize it by saying the pool is haunted, how important can this film be? The pool is haunted. This, mm-hmm. is what you would tell at like a campfire when you're 12.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're like, and then he got in the pool, but the pool was pulling him down.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh,
yeah.
But what but what does it mean? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost want to, like, at this point, like, if we're going to make movies about this kind of campfire tale, I want one. I want them to make a Goat Man movie.
A Goat Man
movie. Did you ever read the Goat Man?
I didn't read it, but I've heard about it.
Yeah. It's like, just go get, oh yeah. Well, yeah. Take what's like a 20-minute read. There you go. Make a movie out of that.
Now it's a movie.
I guarantee you that's scarier.
There was a creepypasta about Squidward. Did you ever read this one? I forget what it was called.
Squidward Suicide.
Oh, but then the show made it canon. Like there was evidently in a fairly recent episode, like within the last year or two, they reference it. And I said they made it canon. It's not canon, sure. But you know what I mean? Like they reference it. And like they use some imagery from it.
Whoa.
And it's weird.
Do they do the eyes?
They do the eyes.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so unsettling.
I know. Right.
Oh
yeah.
We need to figure that out after the episode.
Yep. But yeah, okay. Man, it just is what it is.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Can't fault it for that, I suppose. Can't fault it for not being what it isn't.
Right. Sure.
All right. Let's up the quality a little bit. I want to talk to you about talk to me.
Okay.
You busy tonight?
You want to turn, eh?
My mum leaves at 9.
So you're at 10.
Yes! So where'd you get it from anyway?
Apparently it was the hand of someone who could connect with the dead.
I heard it was the hand of a Satanist. The other hand's just out there.
White people shit, man, I tell you.
All right, let's do this! You know the drill. Say, talk to me.
Talk to me.
Haley, fucking stop it, he's choking!
83 seconds, get it off him!
What if we opened the door, but we didn't shut it?
Delete it. Delete it, come on!
The spirits, they followed us.
We have to do something.
You want to do it again? Run.
They're not going to stop.
What was it?
Run.
What?
I don't know!
I let you in.
Run.
I let you in.
Run.
Oh my God.
Talk to me.
This is on my list as well.
All right. So Talk to Me is a 2022 film. I've been trying for a while to watch it and it's never been anywhere.
Yeah, same.
And I believe I watched this with a free trial of Showtime or something that I then canceled. So still getting away with that stuff. This is directed by Danny and Michael Philippou, written by Danny and then also Bill Heinzman. This is an Australian film. So all of this takes place in Australia. Let's see, Adelaide. So Adelaide's Australia, right? Yeah, South Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big city, actually. Anyway, okay, cool. All right, so the film stars Sophie Wilde, Alexander Jensen. The only name you're going to recognize on this whole list is Miranda Otto. She's somebody's mom. But Talk to Me is about a bunch of teenagers who screw around too much with a mysterious severed hand as like a conjuring tool, basically. Mm-hmm. That's the premise. So if you've seen the trailer, you sort of know about what's kind of going on, you know, like they, it's like a party trick.
Sure.
You know, they're seeing it on social media. Like people are touching the hand and saying the words, and then like they appear to, then they get possessed, and then, you know, they stop the seance after however many seconds so that the spirits can't stay or whatever. And, they're like, you know, and the scuttlebutt is, oh, it's fake. And then, you know, you got to go to one of these parties and do it. And then stuff happens after that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, talk to me. So I finally got around to watching it. And I think the movie is really well done, just open and shut. You know, I think I'd really recommend anybody watch it if you're into elevated horror. Cause this is, I believe, more than just, you know, it's doing more than just like, oh, creepy possessed, you know, it's barely even part of it. I think it's neat how the ending of this film, which I won't spoil, it's one of those endings that causes so much discussion, and it speaks to the filmmaking and character work that there's such a fierce debate, as I found out, over the interpretation of the ending, which, you know, the events of the film are very clear, but the exact, you know, subtext is not apparently clear, you know? So it's just one of those things that kind of makes you want to go back and watch it again.
Sure.
So, full stop. I mean, I do recommend Talk to Me. Yeah, I think I really liked the, performance here of Sophie Wilde. The main character, Mia, she is struggling with, having lost a parent, recently. And so obviously the film is a fair amount about her grief and, you know, her estranged relationship with her father and her relationship with the people she's staying, like her friends and, former boyfriend. So just stuff, a lot of emotional baggage that she's carrying around that comes into play in the movie. So, you know, it ends up having more to say than just hand scary.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So if it's on your list, keep it on your list. I think it's worth getting around to for sure.
Nice. So. Yeah. I want to see it. Like you said, it's been on my list for a while, but there's nowhere to watch it.
Yeah. Similarly, there's The Lodge.
So, how would you feel about going to the mountains for Christmas with Grace? She really wants to get to know you guys.
That's our mom's hat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You okay? I don't want to leave you here with the kids if you're not feeling up to it.
I'm feeling fine. It was my idea, and it's a couple days. I can do a couple days.
Okay, guys, I'm off. Have fun.
What is that?
It's Grace.
Everyone committed suicide except for her.
Repent, and you will find salvation.
Guys! Things are very uncomfortable between us, and we're stuck in a house together. What is this? The power's out. Where are my things? It makes no sense. What? I heard something.
Repent your sins.
Hello? Did you do that?
We didn't do anything.
We're leaving.
What are you talking about? Look outside. We're stuck here.
Oh my God, please help me. Okay. Trust me.
have nothing to be scared about.
The Lodge, directed by Veronica Franz, Severin. Has there only been one movie tonight that's directed by one person, for God's sake? Veronica Franz and Severin Fiala, written by those two and Sergio Caschi. It is a horror film from 2019, starring Riley Keough, Jaden Martell, Leah McHugh, and then we've also got Alicia Silverstone and Richard Armitage in here.
Oh, nice.
So this is a movie about a group of characters, you know, these kids and their soon to be stepmother and their dad going to their lodge in the wilderness for Christmas, and bad things happen. So, I don't want to get too much into the plot basically, but you know, obviously the kids are not psyched to be there with this woman who's going to marry their dad. The dad has to go away for business at a certain point in the movie, which is known from the beginning. So it's one of those movies where the whole time you're like, well, that's just a terrible, decision. Like that's
right. Right.
That's just a terrible,
why are you doing this?
There is that. Yeah. Like what's wrong with you? You
know? Right. Right.
So The Lodge, this is another one I would watch again. This time it would be to track the plausibility of the plot. Cause that's one thing that people had more of a problem with, in this one than anything else. I do think it's a good movie. I think the film gets a bonus points, huge bonus points for avoiding semi spoiler for avoiding a traditional boogeyman in this movie. What's happening is not what you think is happening. I don't want to say too much because I want things that are surprising in this movie to remain surprising. This movie, I will say, does get the award for most abrupt and unexpected death of a character.
Okay.
All right. I was like, oh, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So there's that. Instead of a boogeyman here, we're opting for slow atmospheric human horror, which I always say is worth a watch. So it's not going to knock your socks off, but it's not going to do any dumb jump scares or other silly garbage.
Yeah.
It's just going to unsettle you and kind of make you question what's real. And those are always like, oh, you know, it kind of makes you stare at it for a while. Like, okay, like, is this really happening or is it, you know? Actually, you know what? The more I talk about it, the more I'm like, yeah, that was worth it. I mean, like, Talk to Me is good, you know?
Sure.
And I wasn't going to compare them, but I almost wonder, like, I feel like The Lodge is almost a more clever film in a way. And it's just in its simplicity. I don't know. There is a twist. And once the twist is revealed, you're kind of like, oh no. Like you just, oh no.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. I almost want you to watch it and report back. I'm curious.
Okay.
I'm curious what you would think actually.
Okay.
So maybe we should revisit this, but, I do recommend The Lodge for sure. So that's on Max. If people want to check that out, I don't feel like this movie is scary in that sense. Like there's no, like Hereditary to me was scary. It was like, oh no.
Sure.
Oh no, 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 no.
Yeah.
You know, there's no dread in this movie. It's more just like, what is going on? You know, like what exactly is going on? It's almost more of a mystery in that sense. It's just mysteries are fun. This isn't a fun mystery. Yeah. It's psychological horror. It's sure. You know, so,
yep. Nice.
Yeah. We'll leave it there.
Okay. Cool, man.
We'll leave it there. Okay. We're going to go.
We're going to go.
Goodbye.
Bye.